bonus content. Bonus content. Food Court will be coming back with new episodes this spring, but until then, here is some fun bonus content to tide you over. Mark and John, who argued Burger King versus McDonald's, get into this discussion.
I'm a novice movie fan. Like, I think probably most people could say that. I'm basic AF is what I'm saying.
Okay.
I have an obsession with Wes Anderson movies. Good or bad?
He's good, I would say. Yeah, I did have good. A film teacher once who said she had just seen Royal Tenenbaums. She said, he's too cute. And there was like a tweeness to all of his. But I think he's gotten better as he's gone on. Like, I love the Grand Budapest Hotel. Like, to me, that's my favorite one.
Yeah. But I think that's also because I'm like obsessed with format.
Yes.
And like, you know, when you see one of his movies that it's absolutely one of his movies, and not everyone can say that. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for a...
That's auteur theory, right?
So I don't think it's either or. Like, it's good or bad. I think it just is. Some people have a very distinctive style that carries through, and some people, they want to be more like invisible, as it were, as a director. Like, you don't feel their hand, but some people are like, no, this is what you get.
Doesn't that work with food too? Like, are there like auteur, like if you eat stuff, if you had a blind taste test of like three of your friends, wouldn't you probably be able to tell who cooked what?
That would actually, I think, be more challenging than you would think. But
really?
Certainly if it was visual, I think you would. As a matter of fact, I've done some reality shows where that is part of it, and you can see someone's food, and some of the plating techniques might give you
that's
cues.
Funny.
Oh, sure.
Well, that's the same as directing then. Like,
yeah. The way they light aesthetics. A scene, the way they frame the shot. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But I think that's why I love Wes Anderson, because I actually feel like I don't have that in my own food. Like, I don't have, like, you know, it's... Well, I guess I do. If there's liquid nitrogen involved, it's Richard Blais.
You're the foam guy.
There you go.
That's my centers. Everything has to be centered, right? What do you call that? That's the West End. Everything's on
like symmetrical. Like, it's all symmetrical.
Exactly. I don't know why I feel like I have to reveal this to you. My favorite Wes Anderson movie is Fantastic Mr. Fox.
That's mine too.
Okay.
The Wolf with the Fist.
Unbelievable. So many great quotes.
It's so fun. Many.
Listen,
I haven't seen
these apples. These apples aren't real. They're synthetic. But at least we have them. Anyway, I'm paraphrasing George Clooney. Okay. What are some of your favorite movie food moments? There's so many.
I always think of Ratatouille when the critic takes the bite of the ratatouille.
That's a good one.
He has that totally transcendent moment to his childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one's incredible. Also, how they animated like the scents and the flavors, like they made it visual. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, and Lady and the Tramp, iconic.
Sure.
What's a better sign? I'm sorry. Should we be saying what? Big Night? I really like.
I was like a Goodfellas when the mother brings out like the food at the, you know.
Yeah,
and also
so
in 9 to 5 when they get stoned and raid the fridge.
That's a fun
They have like
food,
fried
yeah.
chicken and ribs
and
like
pickles
chips,
and olives and everything.
Like,
yeah.
That always looked like, even when I was a kid, I was like, I want to get stoned and like raid the fridge.
I want to get stoned and hang out with middle-aged women. That sounds like a hoot.
I mean, that is exactly what I want to do with my life.
And here you are, living your dream.
Here I am, living my truth.
I mean, the Goodfellas scene is iconic. There's just multiple food scenes in that movie, right? There's the shaving of the garlic. Is that Goodfellas where they're in prison?
Yeah, in prison, and,
Paulie shaving the garlic with a razor blade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are some of your worst personal cooking disasters? Eating or cooking?
I once put cookie batter. I thought I had finished it. But I forgot to put the dry into the bag, the flour stuff. So I just put that stuff into the oven. And I was like, why isn't it working? And it all just melted. I was an idiot. I
love how you called it the dry. I forgot to put
the dry. I don't know
what
you call it, the dry. Well, there's the wet stuff and the dry stuff in baking. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you call it.
That's completely correct. Yeah, the dry.
Listen, you haven't been in a Trader Joe's.
That's true.
Are have you been in a Whole Foods? I mean, is it a Whole Foods versus Trader Joe's?
I just have, I've done no grocery shopping since in the past 8 years.
That's not like I respect, by the way.
Thank you.
Married couple Derek and Kimberly have something to share. Derek, what are some of the craziest requests you've gotten from your private chef and celebrity clients in your pop-up series?
Oh my God. Okay, so celebrity clients, obviously because of NDAs, I can't say who, but I had a client that just
Eddie
wanted...
Murphy.
That just
saying celebrities right now.
That just wanted well-done filet like every day.
Okay.
No, not okay. Like they were like, we're trying to eat healthy, so no oil. And I'm like, okay, so, and then they were like,
The Rock.
Dude.
Now I just want to like take a guess.
I wish it wasn't, no, it wasn't even, it wasn't any, it wasn't, it was okay. No, but I was like, well done every day. And then like, that was tough.
Reese Witherspoon.
And then
She loves a well-done steak, right?
What was the rest of the question? Crazy things? I mean, I definitely have cooked in some really cool situations, like a prince, like a royal family.
Oh, I thought you meant like Prince with the rock star. Yeah. Like prince.
That would have been cool, but...
Royal family. Tell me about the royal family experience. I have a little bit of experience here, too.
Yeah, so there was a lot, and this was a Saudi royal family, and so there was just a lot of people in the house. I mean, a nanny for every kid, and then a nanny for the nannies, and like, I mean, there were so many people we were cooking for, and...
The nanny's nanny had an assistant. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And like every like adult, you know, prince and princess, they all had people. And then there was like six drivers. And anytime they went anywhere, it was like they were all in a different car. So like,
what was your specific protocol? Like, were you allowed to look them in the eye? Did you have to address them a certain way?
They were phenomenal. Such an amazing family and so polite and like thankful. And like I've heard from other people in the business that have cooked for other, you know, royal families, that it's not the same. Like, we got really lucky who we were cooking for. But yeah, he was cool. He would come in, he would just ask what was on the menu for the day, and then he'd approve it. And if he liked it, he would just come over to the table, and then he'd wave us over, and then we get to talk to everybody at the table. And it was like,
so basically royalty, they're just like us.
Yeah. I mean, he was
some
he was,
of them are just like, but just like some his, of them are not
his,
nice.
Daughter was like she us. Was so cool. She was like 9 years old, and one day she comes in and she's like chef, and then she like, can I whisper in your ear? And right. I'm like, oh my god. And I'm like, because she's a princess, right, like a real and she's like, I want to make a cake for my dad today because he's the best dad in the world.
Oh,
and I'm like, I looked at the other chef, I was like, I'm on a project.
Right. That's the way to do it. I got to cook once for the princess of Thailand.
Wow.
In Thailand for the United States State Department under a previous administration. And it was really cool because, you know, you get to cook for them, like, you know, especially in a state environment like that, like an official government capacity. And you get the you know, the dossier and the protocol and how to address them. Don't look at them unless they, you know, don't look at them in the eye, basically, unless they look at you. Don't walk towards them unless they take a step towards you. All of this sort of like really serious protocol had me freaking out. And then I realized that, you know, cooking for a princess is just like cooking for Padma Lakshmi. Like, there's no difference. Like, amazing. Don't look her in the eye. Right. Like, always step to her. She steps towards you. Very, very similar.
Speaking of the dossier, I did get to cook for the U.S. consulate in Guadalajara, Mexico.
Ooh.
They were, like, huge fans and flew me down. And when I landed, they handed me, like, government-sealed folder. And, like, I opened it and had everything. It had this whole itinerary, everything we were going to do. And I was like, where am I going to cook? It was like they had so much planned. And then they handed me a phone, and they were like, just use this. And I was like, oh, my God. Like,
they gave you a burner phone.
They gave me a burner. Like, I was like, man, this. And, like, the SUV they picked us up in, bulletproof glass, like, it was super thick. Like, it was wild. I was like, man.
You're safe.
Just blown. I was just blown away. I was like, why me?
Let's hear from Julie and Amy from the heated cilantro debate. What are some things, Julie, that just drives you absolutely insane in restaurants?
Like children's menus.
Oh, I like that. This is actually has been written about a lot recently, that a lot of restaurants are just now not doing children's menus.
Yeah, just like teach your kid to eat fucking food.
I agree. Listen, as a parent too, I there's always something that you can find on a restaurant menu that should work for your kid.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, I just feel like this catering to the whims of children is in a restaurant. Also, like, just to really be in, like, to sound like an evil old single lady, people that let their kids run around the restaurant.
I was just going to say, children's menus, children in restaurants.
Yeah, that's my number one, like, pet peeve of the universe.
As a restaurateur, I agree with you there, because it's kind of dangerous for kids to be running around a place with fire and knives and lots of people just walking around.
Yeah.
I have a restaurant near like a busy street, and there's kids just sometimes just like walking in front of the, like, where, hey guys, your parents are in there.
Yeah.
This is kind of dangerous. I get it. Now I have a question for you though. Have you ever ordered off of a children's menu for yourself?
Not for me, but I do have a funny quick story. I went to a restaurant in Pasadena with my friend Richard, and they had silver dollar pancakes, but only on the children's menu. Like, he got into such a fight with the waitress, and the waitress just wouldn't give. All she had to do was to give him the silver dollar pancakes.
Right.
And he just, he would not let go, and she would not let go, and we left the restaurant. It was embarrassing.
That is embarrassing for the restaurant, for sure. Crazy. Did they have regular pancakes on the menu?
They did have regular pancakes. He was like, I don't want regular pancakes. I want little pancakes.
So then even more so, like, just make little pancakes.
Yes, but she, like, she had some control issues that she couldn't let go
And this
of.
Was not a manager. This was just a server.
This was a server, okay. But also my friend was kind of being a jerk.
Well, that's still bad hospitality.
Yeah.
Right? What about you, Amy? Things that drive you nuts in restaurants.
When I feel pressure to, like, when they take away the plate when you're not done, I don't like that.
Oh, yeah.
That makes me, like, I feel pressure to finish or something. If they take away everyone's plate, but you're still working, you know, I don't like to have to say I'm still working on it.
Right. Well, also,
it's such a, it just makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, proper etiquette is to make sure that the whole table is finished.
Exactly.
And some restaurants don't know that, so they'll clear one person's food, and then it puts pressure. I'm in the same camp, and it's like, hey,
Yeah, like at a fine dining restaurant, everybody's plate gets bussed at the same time.
Right.
Mm, I have the same pet peeve with, like, silverware, too. Like, I don't want to use the, like, if it's a restaurant that is a fine dining-ish sort of place, and I've used that, I want you to change out the fork for my next course. Don't just take it off my plate as you clear it and then ask me to hold it.
If it's on
my dirty plate, it should be cleared.
I agree.
Interesting.
Yeah, but this is just me now being, like, obviously, like, a curmudgeon restaurateur.
I think that that's poor etiquette.
Have you worked in the industry, either of you?
No, I've never worked in food service, no.
Amy, what did you do?
I was a waitress. I waited tables in college and when I worked at the Iowa State Fair. Ooh. I worked in a restaurant called Stockman's Inn. And when I was younger, I worked in the, like, kitchen area cooking. And then when I was old enough to serve beer, like, I waited tables there every summer.
So were you like happy to get out of the kitchen and
yeah,
and
I mean, the kitchen was like, it was like 100 degrees and we were like making thousands of hamburgers every day. It was intense.
Yeah. I always say, like, now that I am in sort of the, you know, the TV and the film world, that, like, those, when you do a food show, those two worlds coming together are like the longest hours and the hardest work you can imagine combining.
Oh yeah.
Right. Because it's not easy. Let's hear from Dana and Karama, who debated French fries. Have you ever worked in a restaurant before?
I was a waitress when I was in high school, a server at California Pizza Kitchen when I was in high school.
At some point, they just started calling themselves CPK. Right?
It was still technically California Pizza Kitchen when I was there. I got very good at pouring the two soups at the same time, which is a CPK signature.
Oh, explain this.
One of the things that people order at CPK is two soups in a single bowl. And because they are similar viscosity, if you pour the soups at the same time, you sort of just have it straight down the middle. And the longer you work there, sort of the cleaner your line would be. So I got very good at pouring the two soups at the same time.
I feel like that's a Jurassic Park. I feel like that's a Jurassic Park situation where it's like, just because you could, you didn't think about whether you should.
Oh, I fully agree. I did not eat the food there. I just served it to people.
And to tell you where my head's at, I'm hearing that story and I'm like, that's a viral TikTok. You pour two soups into one bowl.
I'll do it.
It's split down the middle. It's a six.
I bet I still have the muscle memory.
Two soups, one bowl.
Unbelievable.
I also worked in a restaurant the summer after my senior year of high school and the summer after my freshman year of college. I was a hostess at a restaurant in Sherman Oaks, California, 818 represent. It was called Mr. Cecil's California Ribs, and the Fanning sisters were regular customers of ours, which was lovely. They were very nice young women.
Okay. Well, good to hear that someone was nice, because hostesses in the host position at a restaurant is probably, the temperature gets hotter there than it does in the kitchen, right?
It's in a lot of ways thankless, but we did have some amazing patrons, and I do miss Mr. Cecil's, and I hope that one day they're able to come back from the ashes like a phoenix.
All right. What's the craziest experience that you've had in a restaurant, either working or just as a guest?
Ooh. Oh, no. I have one. I have vomited in a couple of restaurants. I'm so sorry. but most recently, my most recent vomit situation in a restaurant was as an adult, which was super fun. I went to Venice, Italy with my mother for the holidays. We went to Italy generally, but this particular instance, we were in Venice. And we went to the island off of the coast of Venice, Murano, where they do the glass blowing. And we saw a little demonstration of the glass blowing. And I bought a little glass penguin figurine for like 40 euros because I have an addiction to penguins. And I just needed to have it, even though it was the size of my thumb and like a lot of money. And then on the way back, I started to feel a little bit nauseated. And I had had some Prosecco and I had had, I thought that it was just like the Prosecco and the sea. So I had some tea when we got back to the hotel. We were staying in a gorgeous hotel, the Hotel Danieli, and it looked like Italian Hogwarts at Christmas time. It was gorgeous. And then we went to this restaurant afterwards, and it was this very fancy restaurant called like Il Covo or something. It means the cove in Italian. I'm not a frequent Italian speaker. And it's a fish restaurant because, of course, they're off the coast. And as I got there, I was like, I don't feel great. And they, one of the owners is friends with my mom's friend from high school, which is how we were even able to get in, which was, I guess, not nepotism, but the thing where it's like friend nepotism. And I sat down, had some tea, started to feel ill. And then my mom saw my face and she said, go to the bathroom now. And I did not make it to the bathroom and I threw up in the foyer and then started crying and apologizing to the owners. And I was just like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And I did not, needless to say, have any of the fish there. I did have maybe half a bite of bread and my pasta arrived. And that is when I just lost it.
Mm. Now, even though you didn't have any of the food, do you need to stay away from certain like Italian restaurants because you have this memory of that experience in an Italian restaurant?
No. And, you know, the rest of the trip, I was fine. I don't know what happened to me. And it wasn't the restaurant because I actually did eat the food later and it was incredible, even a couple hours later. But I just was not well after my trip to Murano. I think it was spending the 40 euros on the penguin figurine that really made me lose my lunch.
That makes sense. Dana, any incredible fun restaurant
stories? Yeah, it doesn't involve vomit, unfortunately. A recent one was I went to Per Se in New York, which is a place that I never would have afforded otherwise. But my
what a 400. Wait, hold on. I hate to stop you. Did you buy a $400 euro penguin?
Yeah, no, I did not. But basically the culinary equivalent. But my ex-boyfriend at the time who I was with, it turns out our server was a big fan of the television program he wrote for. And he was so excited that they gave us a tour of the kitchen. And so we got to just like hang out in the kitchen of Per Se and see what they were doing. And like, that was a crazy experience just to see what very, very, very professional chefs are up to behind the scenes.
Absolutely. What was, if you can you remember,
I
like,
should change my story.
I like the contrast here. What was like when you walked into that kitchen at Per Se, what was like something that just automatically jumped out?
It's like a machine. Just like it's so many people in such a small place, just like moving like gears, like no one in each other's way. Such a clean, efficient space. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's like a laboratory.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I think most people are shocked how much labor is involved in producing any food at any level, but especially at the fine dining level. Okay, we'll leave it with the final thoughts. This was a previous debate, so I don't know if you know how it worked on our podcast, but ranch dressing versus blue cheese dressing.
Ranch.
Thoughts.
Ranch.
I love ranch dressing. I was in a Hidden Valley Ranch commercial. It was the best day of my life. I got paid to eat ranch for like 6 hours.
Serious?
Yes, Zach Braff directed it. He's lovely. And I'm ride or die for Zach Braff because he paid me to eat ranch dressing. So
I found out the other day that he's one of two directors to win a Grammy for a soundtrack because of the Garden State soundtrack.
Oh, that's a fun fact about Zach.
Wow. Okay, so team ranch dressing. And that you know Hidden Valley is a real place, right? Did you do any of the history of it?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
We didn't talk about it on the commercial shoot, but yes, I knew that from my own personal research by eating ranch.
Supposedly it was a pretty scandalous place.
Say more.
I mean, I this is just me reading like Wikipedia, but like supposedly it was a very loose, fun-loving, late 60s, early 70s type of hippie ranch, if you will. I'll say no more.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
I'm a loose, fun-loving girl. I love ranch. It's fun. Girl. And I love it loosely spread on top of my food. That's what I'm saying.
Would you eat ranch ice cream in an ice cream cone?
I would try it.
Yeah, I would try it, but I don't think I would like it. I was always, when I was watching like Iron Chef as a kid, and they always went for the ice cream maker. And on Chopped, when they go for the ice cream maker, you're like, no.
Ridiculous.
You don't need to do it. Don't.
You are asking to fail if you go for the ice cream maker on Chopped for the dessert round. It doesn't make, you don't have time.
And don't make, don't, no, you don't need to make ranch dressing ice cream. Bad choice.
It's like they've never seen the show. And it's like they're not listening to me screaming at them in my house.
Well, you don't even have to have seen the show. Like, it, the, just the meme of it on that show is mm-hmm. in culture. But it's a fly to a light. It's like they can't stay away from that ice cream machine. I don't know what it is. Ladies, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Of course.
Food Court is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Richard Blaze. My producer is Crystal Bamahi. Food Court was created by our executive producer, Christopher Hasiotis. The rest of my Food Court clerks are Gabrielle Collins, David Wasserman, and Jasmine Blaze. The theme song is by Jason Naismith. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite food shows. And until next week, Food Court is adjourned. Food Court with Richard Blaze.